Last week, we covered a very important message on guard your heart. And in that message, I talked about how we cannot be about trying to simply manage our lives, but we need to be about letting God come into the place of our heart, which is the central control room of our lives, so that he can be on the throne of our lives. And it's just time and time again in this last week, I've seen how important that message is that we become weary and heavy burdened, and we become crushed by this world when we try to manage all the situations and circumstances of our lives by our own power. We need to invite God into our lives so that he can dwell in our hearts and minister to us through the difficulties of this life. And so as we go into today's message, which many ways follows directly from guard your heart, today's message is watch for ambushes. And if you don't understand why I'm using that kind of language, you're going to find out. But we're looking through the book of Proverbs. We're studying through the book of Proverbs, and we're trying to do it in a year, which means I'm not covering every single verse of Proverbs. That would take me probably a decade. And so we are going to walk through this, and today we're looking at Proverbs chapter 5. And we're going to pull specifically from a couple verses here about the importance of, as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, learning how we are to train ourselves to be faithful and loyal to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How should we respond to the difficult circumstances of our lives? How should we respond when we come under an ambush, which is basically when an enemy is in a concealed position and does a surprise attack? It's almost like if we were to talk about driving, it's when you get T-boned. You know, what happens when you get T-boned? When someone comes out of nowhere and hits you? And how do you respond to that? How do we live our lives faithfully to the one who's enlisted us when we come under that situation? And so I'm not going to just talk about how do you react to an ambush, though. I want you to learn how to look for it, how to look for it, and how to protect yourself from falling into one. So we're going to talk about a proactive strategy today, not just a reactive strategy. It's important to know how to react, but we need to know how to protect, how to be proactive in our lives to protect ourselves from the enemy of our souls. So let's go ahead and read today's scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23 for a message called Watch for Ambushes. And this is action step number one of a good soldier's training regiment. Know the field manual. Just like an athlete needs to know the playbook, a good soldier needs to know the field manual, and that's what your Bible is. So Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he'll be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he will go astray. Father, your word is eternal and everlasting. As we dive into Proverbs chapter 5 this morning, may we learn from your word how we can live faithfully to your instruction, to your wisdom, to your way, so that we will not go astray, so that we will not be ambushed and taken off the path, so that we will not die from lack of instruction, so that we will not be ensnared and encumbered by sin. Oh, Father, free us from that sin through our faith in Jesus Christ, so that we may live by the power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, to understand, I'm going to now read to you all of Proverbs 5. Now, a little warning. Proverbs 5 is possibly PG-13, if not a little bit more. You'll see that there is a specific ambush that Proverbs 5 is focusing on here. So there's nothing that's going to be said that should be too bothering. But if you've ever read the Old Testament to your children before, you kind of wish there were times that they weren't listening, because Hollywood's got nothing on the Bible, because the Bible speaks to every situation and every reality of life, okay? This one's not too bad. It's a whole lot worse in other places. But I still wanted to give you that heads up. Here we go. Proverbs 5. My son, give attention to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion, and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol. Sheol is an ancient word for the grave, for the underworld. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from my words of my mouth. Keep your way from her and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. And strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. Alien here is foreigner, someone who is not part of the Israelite nation. So not outer space alien for those X-File fans. All right, here we go. And you groan at your final end when your flesh and your body are consumed. And you say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. I was almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and fresh water from your own well. Should your springs be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth as a loving hind and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of a man, here's our scripture, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin. He will die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he will go astray. O Father, your word, help us, O God, to understand your word so that we may apply it from our lives and avoid the pitfalls of immorality. In Jesus' name, amen. So you'll see that this scripture primarily, and let me take it just to a PG level here and keep it straight but honest, this whole scripture basically is about avoiding the adulteress, about avoiding something or someone that will cause you to not walk in covenant faithfulness to God. It's using the marriage imagery here about being satisfied with one another in the marriage relationship and not going outside of that to be satisfied. But we need to remember that in the Old Testament, it was very common for the issues of adultery to be used to talk about idolatry. Okay, so we're not just talking about sexual relationship here. We're not just talking about actual physical adultery. We're actually very much talking about covenant faithfulness and walking in the way that is true to God and not being ambushed not only by sexual temptation, but also not being ambushed by moral temptation or spiritual temptation or ethical temptation that would take you off the way of God. Okay, so that's kind of an overview. And so some of the imagery in here, it may sound like they're talking about cisterns and springs. Well, it's actually talking about your spouse. You know, be satisfied with your own cistern. Don't go outside of it to find refreshment in a different context. Okay, so it's talking about fidelity, faithfulness, purity. So there's so much going on here, and I could have made this whole message about that, but I wanted to really try to focus on that as the image, okay, using the covenant faithful relationship of marriage and sexuality, which is such an important and urgent message for today. But I wanted to talk about, to get to the heart of what the author of Proverbs was really trying to get out here, which is how when you let immorality, when you let things that are not of God ambush you and take over your life, that they take you off the path. They take you out of being faithful to God and out of his blessing, okay, out of his favor. Okay, so let's check that out now. So that's the scripture. That's the field manual. It's a very quick overview. And now let's jump into step two, which is how do we now train according to this scripture as a church, as one unit. If we're called to be soldiers and we're a unit, if we're supposed to work together, then how do we do this? Now, watching for an ambush is a significant reality for all combat missions. Now, as you know, I was a soldier. I was in the military. I was in the infantry. And so we learned how to not only perform ambushes, but also how to react to them, how to watch for them. Now, an ambush, by definition, is a surprise attack from a concealed position. A surprise attack from a concealed position. Concealed means you can't see it. It's camouflage. They're behind cover. You don't know it's coming. Like I said, it's kind of like being T-boned. You didn't expect it. It just happened. Boom. But there are things you can do. There are ways you can drive to look for situations to prevent being T-boned. Just like in the military, we're trained to look for signs and to live and to operate in such ways as to potentially avoid ambushes. And that's going to be a part of today's service. The primary way, please listen to this, this is so important. The primary way to avoid a surprise attack is through a well-chosen route. The best way to avoid being ambushed is to choose your route, to choose the way that you're going wisely. Because there are places you go where you're very much possibly going to be ambushed, and so you don't go there. All right, so route selection. In other words, as Christians, as biblical people, we need to learn how to walk in the way of Jesus. But there are times that you cannot avoid an ambush through route selection. Then you must learn to look for signs of the enemy. You must learn to be discerning and understanding of the schemes of the enemy so that you can see that there's enemy activity, that there's someone possibly concealed. Jesus called the devil a thief. He said that all the devil does is seek to steal, kill, and destroy. It's John 10:10. Jesus says there is a thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I have a page and a half of Bible references about the enemy of your soul. I'm just going to read a few of those to highlight it to you. Because the devil is actively seeking an opportunity to defeat you when you are walking in the way of God. And pay attention to this, one of his primary schemes is to get you out of the way of God to a place where he has ambushes already established for you. So we need to learn how to proactively walk in the way of God and look for the off-ramps that are not from God. Now, sometimes if he can get you just out of the way of God for a moment while you're searching the internet, Facebooking and private messaging, skimming the channels late at night, he can seek to destroy your testimony, rob you of your joy and your love, kill your faith and your hope. Because remember, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the only thing Satan is trying to do, steal, kill, and destroy. If he can steal from you the joy of your salvation, he can't take your salvation from you. Do I need to be clear about that with you? Cannot take your salvation from you, but he can steal the joy of your salvation by getting you to off-ramp to try to make life work for you in the ways you think it should be working out for you. He can try to kill your testimony. And that's what ambushes are about from the enemy. So let me read to you just a handful of scriptures. I won't read them all to you. I should have all the references on the screen. Wow. Boo. And I think that's just some of them. Yeah, there's a whole, probably another line of those. Here we go. I'll hit some of those, but you can start writing those down or take a picture. But this is also in the blog. I put all my manuscripts with all the references in our church, on our webpage in the blog. You can also go back and watch the video if you can't catch it all now. All right. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13 says this: put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and have done everything, stand firm. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I want you to keep hearing that the Bible is very clear that there is an enemy of your soul, that there is a spiritual adversary who's seeking to deceive you, accuse you, so that you would be insecure and fearful, feeling self-condemned, so that you would take the way off the path of Christ Jesus and therefore make yourself vulnerable to ambushes, to enemy attack, to the schemes. And remember, the objective of every scheme of the devil is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. And he will sell you a bill of lies. He will give you counterfeit millions. He'll give you counterfeit pleasures. He will do all of that. But all those counterfeits will only lead to bankruptcy, because it's not real and it's not lasting. He will do anything he can to get you off the path, because he does not want you to be effective nor fruitful in this life. Here's another one, James 4:7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Bible in no way whitewashes the fact that there are supernatural forces of evil who are seeking to destroy you. But never does the Bible make those forces out to be more powerful than God. The answer is always found in God. The answer is always found in submitting and surrendering yourself back to God and getting back in the way of God. And he has the victory for you already won on the cross of Calvary, for he came to defeat Satan. And that is what he did on the cross of Calvary. Here's a very practical one. Why is anger such a big deal? Not because anger in and of itself is a sin, but because anger can lead to having a foothold for the enemy. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. The actual Greek word there can be translated foothold, which is a military term for when an enemy builds gets a position inside your territory. Think of Russians coming in and getting territory and getting footholds inside Ukraine, trying to establish bases of operations so that they can further conquer and destroy. That's what Satan is trying to do in our lives as well, trying to get a foothold. And he'll use any godly emotion he will try to pervert and try to twist so that he can get a foothold, so he can get inside. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, and greater is the victory we have in Christ Jesus. And we need to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the work of God within us, to the Holy Spirit who seeks to fulfill God's will for our lives, which is our sanctification, which is us being purified and made holy so that our lives reflect the trueness of God's love. For that is why Christ came. Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land? See, lying, cheating, stealing, not doing what you know is right, That is a foothold. That is an opportunity for Satan to ambush you. Every time you choose to ignore the Holy Spirit's work in your conscience, the Holy Spirit's work in your heart and mind to do the right thing, and you say, no, I'm not going to share my faith with that person, or no, I'm not going to give to that cause, or no, I'm not going to go out of my way to help that brother by bringing a meal, or help that family by, you know, doing something practical for them. Every time you do that, it takes you off the way. It takes you and makes you more susceptible to the hardness of the heart, the searing of your conscience. Second Corinthians, and this will be on the next one. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. We're talking about forgiveness here, another major issue in the church. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11. So that, the reason we do this, the reason we do radical forgiveness, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. You know one of the greatest schemes of the enemy? It's for you to take someone's offense upon yourself and hold a grudge. For you to be take on someone else's offense and say, I can't believe that happened to that person. I'm going to take that on, and I'm not going to forgive them. Or for you not to forgive someone. Unforgiveness, bitterness, rage, though, that's a major ambush location. That's a major place where we can avoid that. We can forgive. We can set free. We can be peacemakers. I'll just do one more from this long list of many. This is just a sampling. There's many scriptures. Matthew 6:13. You might know what this is right away. It's the last one on the list. This is Jesus teaching us how to pray. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from evil. Jesus taught us to pray daily that God would protect us, that he'd keep us on the way of God. Because remember, temptation is a way off the path. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's when you take the way of temptation. That's the issue. All of us are tempted, probably most of the time. The temptation, just like the human emotion of anger, is not the issue. It's what you do with it. It's how you react to it. It's whether you see it and understand it as a way off the path. Jesus wants you to stay on the path. That's why he says, get in my yoke with me. Stay with me. Connect with me. Let's walk together, and I'll teach you how to walk in the way. So today's battle drill, watch for ambushes, requires each of us to be on the alert and to make wise choices. There you go. Be on the alert and make wise choices. Stay in the yoke of Jesus and remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit through daily Bible reading time and prayer and being in community with one another, having each other's back. We need to make sure our minds and our hearts are sensitive to what the way of God looks like so that we see and can understand when the enemy is trying to get us to off-ramp, when he's trying to ambush us by making a decision that gets us out of the way. So, like last week, we learned when we do patrol bases, when we have to set up a perimeter where we can then let our hearts be worked on, we need to have intersecting fields of fire. We need to have each other's back. We need to protect each other. We need to watch out for each other. And when we see someone starting to take that way off the way, to go to them lovingly as a friend, as a brother, as a sister, and say, hey, let's lock arms. I have your back. Let's go through this together. We need one another. There are many ways the devil would seek to get a foothold or a stronghold in your life and in our community life as a church and as a larger community. So we must remain vigilant, stand firm, persevere, walk in the way, and keep ourselves from the pitfalls of immorality, which is what this whole chapter of Proverbs 5 is about, using the image of the adulteress. Okay, so now we've done the first two steps. We understand the field manual, we got into the word, and we talked about, now how do we look at this as one unit, as one team? Okay, now the third step is seek the commander's approval. Okay, we need to live our lives with the focus of pleasing God. So in the New American Standard, the Bible I use, the title over Proverbs 5, literally it says right here, The subtitle says Pitfalls of Immorality. It's what it says in mine. Okay, that doesn't mean that's the original text. That is some editor who put that there, so I understand the point of Proverbs 5. But I say that to tell you this. To avoid the ambushes and to not fall into the schemes of the enemy, we must pay attention to every step we take. Ask God to direct our steps. We make our plans, but God directs our steps. Okay? And we need to make sure that every step we take is pleasing to Him. Okay. I like to go backcountry hiking. Okay? Sometimes I go alone. Sometimes I go with friends. But here's the deal. When you're on a treacherous trail, okay, I remember hiking in the Grand Canyon. I hiked rim to rim of the Grand Canyon. I remember there were times where one misstep equaled death. I remember another time, my son was 5 months old. He was in a front carrier right here. And we were on the Santa Cruz Islands off of Ventura Beach in California. And we had taken a charter boat out there. We were out overnight. We were backcountrying it. And we're on this. And I have my five-month-old son right here. We're overnight backcountry hiking. And the trail on some of those places was like sheer drop. You know, and I remember thinking, I've got precious cargo. This is not just me. This is me and my son. I need to watch every single step I take. Okay, when you're in that kind of situation, either because the season of your life or the trail you're on is potentially dangerous, because sometimes we're called to go into dangerous places to be peacemakers and to do radical things of love and forgiveness for others, which puts us at risk. So every step, every word, every thought matters in that moment. You're like on high alert. You're like, oh my goodness, God, how do you have me and my family in this moment right now? Because this is like intense. This is dangerous. Other times, you may be on a trail that's perfectly safe. I've been hiking with Brandon and Daniel. We've been on the Appalachian Trails, hiked by tons of people, but torrential downpours. And we're in locations that are normally perfectly safe, and all of a sudden, you're literally walking in the middle of a stream up and down these pretty significant trails in the Appalachian Mountains, and you're like, oh my goodness, every step matters. Not because I'm necessarily in a dangerous location, but because the storm in that moment is making it dangerous. In those moments, I can't look around and enjoy the scenery. I can't have a cool conversation with my buddies. I am looking at the ground at every single step I'm taking. And if I want to stop and look at the beautiful vista, sometimes I have to wait for the storm to pass, because the vista is completely gone. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that way in life. You're in the middle of a storm and there's nothing beautiful to see. But you know it's there. Like, you know God is there, but you're in the middle of a storm and you don't see Him, but you know He's there. And you're just waiting for the sun to rise and the mercies to be fresh and new and that night to be over. And other times, man, it is absolutely gorgeous out. Man, it was gorgeous in the Grand Canyon. Vistas everywhere. But there is death at every step, too. And you can't look around as you walk. You've got to stop and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to stop forward progress and just look around and enjoy this moment. Because when I'm walking, I've got to watch every step. I want you to hear from the scriptures about the pitfalls, about these moments where we've got to really pay attention to every step we take. Proverbs 5, verse 21, which is our key verse for today, says, "The ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He watches all his paths." Isn't that good news? That God is watching out for you, even when you're in that storm or you're in that treacherous terrain. But listen to Psalm 7, verses 14 to 15. "Behold, he travails with wickedness, and he conceives mischief and brings forth falsehood. He has dug a pit and hauled it out, and has fallen into the hole which he made." Proverbs 26, verses 26 to 28. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Proverbs 28, verses 9 to 10. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. He who leads the upright astray in an evil way will himself fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. Friends, it is so important to understand that when you take the path off of the way, you're walking into dangerous places where we can fall into the very pits that we have created with our choice to walk out of the way. You cannot manage the circumstances and the situations of your life with your own power. You need to guard your heart, for from it flows springs of life, and allow the Holy Spirit to come in those places to give you the wisdom and the direction. Because today's battle drill, please pay attention to this, is not only about Satan, an external enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Today's sermon and avoiding ambushes is also about understanding your flesh, understanding yourself. We often willfully choose to walk into dangerous territory in our pursuit of pleasing ourselves, making life work for us. But God says that he enlisted you not to be distracted by all these other things, but to seek his pleasure, to seek him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So many of the pathways that we take off the way of God is we're doing that backwards. We're trying to make all these other things work out, and then we'll give God glory for being good. It's seek first the kingdom is righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. It's prioritizing, not the management of your life so it works the way you think it should, but prioritizing the relationship with God so that from your heart, the control center of your life, comes the ideas, the inspirations, the volitions, the interpretations of your circumstances and your own emotions, your relationships, comes this life filled with the Spirit so that you can choose wisely to walk in the way of every circumstance and situation that's coming at you. Because the temptation of the flesh is to take control and get into management mode. But that will only crush you. We need to submit and surrender to God as our first order of business. A powerful illustration of this is something I just shared with you in the daily phone call. For those of you who don't know, I do a daily phone call 6 days a week. Pastor Ken does Saturdays for me. Thank you, Ken, so I can have a day of rest. I took all the New Testament devotions I did and put them in a book called Seize the Moment, a daily devotional book on the New Testament. I'm currently working on the 3-volume set of that for the Old Testament, about a quarter of the way through the Old Testament. And I just shared with you recently a perfect illustration of this issue in the Samson story. You ever heard of Delilah? And this perfectly aligns with Proverbs chapter 5, by the way. That's why this came to mind, is because Proverbs 5 is all about Delilah. So let me read to you my Seize the Moment devotion on Judges 16. What is your Delilah? Judges 16, verses 4 to 6, introduces us to the woman that would be Samson's downfall. Remember, Samson was a hero of Israel, a judge appointed by God to protect Israel from the Philistines, but Samson had an Achilles heel. Proverbs 5 pretty much covers Samson's Achilles heel. Her name specifically in this situation was Delilah. So if your name's Delilah, please don't internalize this. We're not talking about you. After this, it came about, this is the scripture, Judges 16, verses 4 to 6. After this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, entice him and see where his strength lies and how he may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we each, they're talking, these are the rulers of the Philistines, we each will give you 1,100 pieces of silver. That is like huge amounts of money. All right, they're basically saying, we know you're on the inside with Samson, and if you'll hook us up with how to take him out, then we're going to make you rich. So Delilah said to Samson, and get this, please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you. She just, man, talk about a straight, she's just going straight to it, okay? Now, let me continue in my devotion. Samson fell in love with a seedy woman, and while the Bible gives us Delilah's motivation from the get-go, Samson seemed to be unaware of her intentions, or at least blinded to them by his infatuation with her. And this is the crazy part about avoiding ambushes. You got to understand that sometimes what you're infatuated with isn't good for you. His romantic involvement prevented him from seeing straight. Now, they do say love is blind, but in this case, it wasn't love. It was lust. Lust is a counterfeit, an enemy smokescreen to obscure the battlefield. For my couples who are not yet married, you will hear me talk about this in premarital counseling. But if you want to guarantee you don't quite understand and know who you're marrying before you marry them, then go ahead and let Satan bring a smokescreen into your relationship. That's why purity is such an important part of the premarital counseling process, so that you can soberly, without intoxication, get to know one another, to ensure that that is the person that you want to walk with Christ with. And I'm back. So, Delilah is not subtle about her efforts to sell Samson to his enemies, the Philistines, for riches beyond anything she would ever be able to earn in her normal nighttime activities. In fact, when you read Judges 16, verses 6 to 20, so when you read this chapter in the Bible, you just want to, I mean, this is me, I just want to pull Samson aside and talk some sense into this guy. Samson, what are you thinking? She obviously is trying to kill you. She's obviously trying to find out your secret to give you over to the Philistines. What is going on with you, Samson? So I kind of want to do that, you know, wall-to-wall counseling. Wall-to-wall counseling with him. That's a military term, by the way. I don't do that here at the church. I sit there and smile and say, tell me how that makes you feel. But sometimes I want to do wall-to-wall counseling, but I would get in trouble, so I don't. Yet Samson, in all his pride, kept returning to Delilah. What is your Delilah? What is your Delilah? What do you keep returning to, even though you know it's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you? Seize the moment and break up with your Delilah today. Flee immorality, as 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, and pursue righteousness, as 2 Timothy 2:22 says. Friends, the way of God is for your freedom and for your good. It's for you to be able to live for Christ, unintoxicated by the Delilahs of this world that are seeking only to sell you out to the enemy, so that he can steal, kill, and destroy from you. What is your Delilah? Break up with it. And that takes us to our fourth action step, because we've learned what the field manual says. We've learned how we need to train it according as one church, as a unit. We now saw how we need to seek the pleasure of the one and not be distracted by the things that will take us off course from pleasing him. And now finally, the question is, how are we going to train this so that we can live on mission today? How are we going to train this battle drill into our lives so that we are constantly, vigilantly looking and watching for ambushes, learning to walk in the way so that we have freedom to live for Christ? Because this is all about you having freedom. I am not trying to ruin your fun. God is not a cosmic bummer. He is not. God is trying to free you from sin and free you from the entanglements of your own good ideas so that you can glorify him. He's trying to free you. If I could do wall-to-wall therapy with some of you right now, I'd be like, he's trying to free you. Be free. Be free. Be healed, be rescued, be delivered. Stop messing around with your Delilah. She's trying to kill you. So the fourth action step. Get it together, Ingalls. I love you. And no, I'm not frustrated with anyone, and everything's fine, and I know people, like, when I get like that, people are like, you okay, man? Mom, good? I'm good. Are you okay? Because I'm good, and I'm happy to help you. The battle drill for today is to watch for ambushes so that you can avoid them. I tell couples all the time, you need to learn each other's triggers. You need to learn the things that set your partner off. And the guy starts smiling. I said, so that you never touch them. So you never, ever go there. You need to learn your spouse's triggers. You need to learn your kids' triggers so that you never push them. You need to know where their buttons are to protect them. You put a wall of protection around your family of origin wounds. You put a wall of protection around where they were hurt and wounded by some other person. You protect them. You are given that person to heal them, not to hurt them, not to have fun with them at their own expense. I can make my wife dance. Watch this. Boop. Wah! No, that's not marriage. That's satanic. Stop it. If you're abusing your spouse, stop in the name of Jesus. Verbally, sexually, financially, in any way. If you're an abuser, stop. That's Satan taking you over. If you're being abused, please come and get help. Please get help. It is not okay in the Church of Jesus Christ for that to be happening. It must stop. And I want to help you. And if you've been wounded or hurt in your family of origin, or you're being wounded and hurt right now, let us help you. It's not okay for that to be happening. It's not your fault that someone's making bad decisions and hurting you. Let us help you. We want to help you, and it's not easy and it's not simple, but we want to walk with you. We want you to be free. We want both the person who's being violated and the person who's violating to be free, because they both need Jesus and his healing and deliverance and rescue. Because we love you. We don't want you to be hurt by the enemy, and we don't want you to hurt others or yourselves either. We want you to be free. The following, and we're going to be coming to an end here with this, I'm taking some practical things from the military, and I'm going to help you very practically learn how to do this, okay? There's some things I really need you to know. The following are warning signs of potential ambushes. This is why I was trained as an infantry officer in Ranger School. This is high-level military training, super simplified. Okay, warning signs of potential ambushes. You can see or hear the enemy or their weapons or signs of their activity along the route. Making your movement, and you see or you hear something that does not fit, something that it does not sit right. You don't keep going. You call a halt. You stop. And you assess the situation and decide if that's the best route to keep going down. Does that make sense? Pretty complicated, right? I'm telling you, the military does not do anything complicated. Okay, but it's very hard in that moment. So I'm not saying it's simple. I'm just saying it's not complicated. But what's hard about it is we sometimes are so set in our minds that we got to keep going because this is what we got to do. And we even use God talk. Got to keep doing it because God told me to do it. No, God did not tell you to go down a path that's for your destruction. You're like, what about Jesus? Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. So that you can be set free, so that you don't have to. You dying on the cross doesn't help anybody. Second, this is actually very interesting. There's an obstacle in the middle of the way. That's one of the major ways. They knock down a tree. They blow up a car. They do something that impedes the journey. All of a sudden, you're like going along the way, and all of a sudden, boom, there's something in the route. Huh, we should probably stop and check this out to see if there's like an IED or if there's some kind of like sniper or some kind of something going on here, because that's like impeding my route. So I need to make sure that I'm not just supposed to kick this door down. Maybe I'm supposed to go around it. So if something's impeding your path, don't just be so sure of yourself that you just kick the door down and keep going. Maybe that's just say, hey, let's stop and pray. Third, there's an intersection where a decision must be made. That is a very common location for enemy ambushes, is when you have to make a decision, a big decision. Don't stop in the middle of the intersection. Anticipate. Look on the map. Be in prayer and discernment. Don't just stand in the middle of it going, what do I do? What do I do? You're in the middle of an exposed location. Anticipate. Pray. Cry out for discernment. Another one is there's an open area, some kind of exposed area where you'll be exposed. So if you're going through the woods and you're concealed and the enemy can't see you, and all of a sudden there's like this huge field you have to walk through, well, that's like obviously a location where there's threat, where there's potential threat. You got to pay attention to that. Another one, this is the last one I'll say. There's damage, this is the most obvious too. There's damage on or near the way from previous ambushes that mark the location as a dangerous area based on past experiences of those who have gone before you. Please, and this, let me talk to my teenagers here. I know you're smarter than us. I know you are. I believe it. But some of us have fallen into pitfalls. Some of us have made really bad decisions. Some of us stood in the middle of the open area of the road and said, I wonder what I'm going to do. I wonder what's going on right now. And we just stand there paralyzed, getting left hooks and right hooks. Some of us can share those stories with you. That's why testimonies are so important. That's why small groups and mentorship is so important. You don't have to walk into the same ambushes I've walked through. Let's talk about it. And not just with me, but with each other. And so kids, please listen to your parents. I know you're smart. You're definitely probably technologically smarter than me and definitely more hip and relevant than I am. But if I can't offer you anything else, it's this. I've made some really bad decisions in my life. And maybe by you learning from me, you can avoid some of them. And maybe some wisdom has been gained through that experience of God not giving up on me or quitting on me, even though I've made a lot of foolish decisions. And in fact, maybe that's what qualifies me, is because I'm 100% dependent upon grace, and I do not depend on anything here. Because I already know what this wants to do. And it's not walking the way of Jesus. But greater is he who is in me. Amen. I want to end with a couple scriptures to you with some of those practical things in mind. I want you to pay attention to these situations and circumstances. I want you to really pay attention and be diligent. So 2 Timothy 2:15 to 26, I'm just going to do a couple parts of this, says this: be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Can I get any Awana people? Can I get a shout out from Awana? That is the Awana verse. Approved workmen are not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Wow, that's a visual. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Guard your heart. From a pure heart. But refuse, listen to this, refuse, pay attention and be diligent. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant, that's us, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, be able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil. You see, the whole motivation of this whole passage is so that you can help someone escape from the snare of the devil. A snare is a trap, an ambush. Having been held captive by him to do his will. Man, you don't want to be caught up in an ambush and be held captive by the enemy and then find yourself on the wrong side. Next, we see ambushes often occur at night. Okay? Very real. Ambushes often occur at night or in places of our lives where we're not allowing the light of God to shine. So Psalm 119, 105, we need to light up every step of our life. Ambushes often happen at night or in the places we're not inviting God. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And brothers, very practically, sisters, invest time with God daily so that the Spirit of God may utilize the word of God in you to illuminate every step of your life. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all that Jesus said to you. In a significant way, he does that. Yes, I know he can just drop something into you. God can do that. God can do anything. But primarily what God does is bring back to your memory that which you have already read, studied, and memorized. So hide God's word in your heart so you will not sin against him. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path, one step at a time, every step. Cry out to God for discernment. Walk in the way. Trust God. Choose to do good. Guard your heart, for from your heart flows life and godliness, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And finally, the last point, and this is going to be in Galatians 6, verses 1 to 2, if you can put it up on the screen, we need to live in community and have each other's back. These are very practical steps, because there are times, and that we're going to be ending now, so Ken, if you can bring your team up, Ken, we're going to be having a prayer time around this point. Sometimes ambushes are unavoidable. Can I say that to you so you don't feel guilty if you're ambushed? Okay, because guilt and condemnation, especially when they come from Satan in your flesh, that's another ambush. The Bible says, therefore, now there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So if you fall into an ambush, the worst thing you can do at that moment is feel condemned that you fell into an ambush. Like, oh, I wasn't good enough to avoid the ambush. Now what do I do? Well, you don't give yourself over to condemnation. That's another, the enemy's flanking you there. He's trying to get you from every angle, left hook, right hook. So sometimes ambushes are unavoidable. The enemy is tenacious to destroy those who are walking with him. If you're in full-time ministry in your life, whether paid or unpaid, if you are sold out for Jesus and you are living for Jesus, you've got a bullseye on you, and your family has a bullseye. The enemy hates you. He's perfectly happy if you call yourself a Christian but you don't pray. He'll let you be religious all day long because that's impotent. But when you are praying and you are serving and you see your whole life as ministry for God, no matter what vocate, what job you have, job title have, whether you're retired or before you're in a vocational world and you're in school, if you see your whole life, then there's a bullseye on you. And when the enemy is tenacious, we often say this in the military, there's very little I can do to stop an enemy who is tenacious and well-equipped. If someone wants to do something and they are resourced and have the intelligence and have the capacity, there's very little we can do to stop that. The Secret Service knows that as well. So what do you do in situations like that? I'd say this is where you need your church. You need one another. We have a current situation going right now that we're going to pray about together, and I have this person's full permission. Tiffany and Scott Lee are home right now watching online, and she's going to be leaving tomorrow for a 30-day treatment center because she got ambushed really hard last weekend, and it was a perfect storm, and she had a mental emotional breakdown. And we've been loving her throughout this week. We've been caring for her, and the staff is coming around her. The church is coming around her. We want to come around Scott and Wyatt, who are going to be at home while Tiffany goes to this medical care center, to get to the root of what caused this breakdown. We love our sister, and we're committed to her. I'm committed to her. I mean, I've been walking with her for over 12 years, but it got really dangerous, and the ambush was really well-placed. And so everything I've been talking about today isn't just theoretical, and it's not just biblical talk. It is biblical talk, but it's not theoretical. This is biblical teaching based upon current events. And so we're going to pray for Tiffany and Scott and Wyatt, and we're going to walk with them, because here's the point. We need to live in community and have each other's back. Let me read this scripture to you. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says this, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual," and I hope I'm talking to a church of people filled with the Holy Spirit, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way. Now, this next part's really important. The church struggles in general just to even do that first part. But here's this. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Right now, Tiffany and Scott and Wyatt need us to bear this burden with them because there's a crisis happening in our culture. And being a member of the church, being on staff at the church, being in full-time ministry does not cause you to not be susceptible to this. In fact, it makes you even more susceptible because there's a bullseye from the enemy seeking to devour. I see Satan as a predator seeking his next prey, which means I need to pray. And I need you to pray for me, and I need to pray for you, because we can do all these other things. We can be diligent. We can light the way. We can be in the Bible. We can be in prayer. But let me tell you, for those who are online and those who are here and those who will hear this at a different date, you need a church. I know we're not perfect. I know there's two churches all around who are not doing this well, but we're trying to do this well here because this is what Jesus wants his community to do, is to be gentle with one another, to be compassionate with one another, to treat others as we want to be treated so that we ourselves will not be tempted and fall into sin. Because when you treat someone without gentleness, without grace, without care and concern, you yourself are the one who's in the ambush at that moment. That's what the Bible says in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. And so I'm going to lead us now in a time of prayer. And also I'm going to be asking Cindy and Bob to come up. I'm going to pray for Tiffany and Scott. And then Cindy recently has gone through a medical crisis herself and is praying for a miracle for her sight and her short-term memory. She was in the hospital. She's now here today. And Bob came up to me in a service and asked if we could anoint her with oil and pray for her for a healing of her eyesight to be restored and a healing of her short-term memory to be restored. And so I'm going to be leading us in prayer for Tiffany and Scott, for her to get to the root of this breakdown so that she can come back stronger than ever, understanding that Jesus is her cornerstone, because she knows that. That's one thing that's amazing, is she has not lost sight of Jesus. And I praise God for that, because if you just have the starting point, Jesus can bring it to completion. It's his promise, by the way. It's the promise to completion. He will bring to completion that which he begun. But that doesn't mean it's going to be three steps forward, no steps back. Sometimes it's four steps back, one step forward. Sometimes it's three steps forward, one step back. And that's why we need a community. We need to have each other's back. We need to pray for one another. So we're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray for Bob and Cindy. And also, Pastor Ken may address this more, but you'll see we have a whole bunch of prayer shawls here. We have faithful women. Any men doing that? Is that all ladies? Yeah. Faithful women. Just making sure. Who are making prayer shawls so that we can deliver those. We're going to pray. We're going to ask you to come forward and pray over these prayer shawls. So they're going to be delivered to those who are grieving and those who have been through a medical emergency. We want you to feel comfortable. And here's my request to you. I know how hard it is to come forward in prayer. I really do know. And when you come forward, you feel like everyone's like, well, what's wrong with them? First of all, it shouldn't be that way. Where we get preoccupied, we should pray for people. Don't let curiosity kill you. But I'm going to invite you to come forward and pray over these prayer shawls. But as you do, I'm also going to invite you as you come forward, I'm going to invite you to just give your Delilah to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to commit your way to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to ask God to give you the sight and the wisdom you need to go out into this world and walk in the way of God and avoid the ambushes. And if you find yourself under attack, to follow these steps and to seek help from your community, because we want to be there for you. And so let's pray. Bob and Cindy, when you guys can come forward as I come close to finishing my prayer for Tiffany, and I'll come down right here in the center. If anyone else wants to come down and join with me in a prayer for Bob and Cindy, if anyone else wants to come down and be available to pray for others, I know Katie is an anointed prayer warrior, so Katie, if you want, any of the elders want to come down and be available. If you want to come down and just pray over the prayer shawls, just do that. If you want to come down and get prayed for, you can go to anyone who's down here, and we'll be happy to pray for you. We believe in miracles. We believe in healing. We believe God is the same God today that he was yesterday, and he's still in the business of rescuing, delivering, saving, and healing. And so come and be anointed with oil, and let us pray for you. Let us bow in prayer now. Lord Jesus, I extend my hands out to my sister and brother. I extend my hands out to Tiffany and Scott and their son Wyatt. And we wrap our arms around them according to Galatians 6:1, O Father, because in a moment like this, an acute crisis moment where there has been chronic pain caused by no hip and three successive doctors saying, we can do nothing for you but give you narcotics. And I thank you for Tiffany, who is strong and saying, no, I will not give myself over to that. Lord, she knows the boundaries of what she can and cannot do. But Lord, she has tried so hard for so long to manage her pain, to be in full-time ministry, to be a wife and a new mom. She has carried so many burdens for so many people. And she has become weary and heavy burdened to a point of having this acute breakdown. And oh Father, I can empathize. Oh Lord, how you know I've been there. And I've needed this church, and this church has given me time off and helped me get help. And so now, Lord, we come in the same way that we have done it for pastors, and we do it now for them. And we say, thank you, Lord. We now pray in the mighty name of Jesus for healing, rescue, deliverance, and the preservation of life. Oh Father, preserve and strengthen Tiffany and Scott, their marriage, their strength, their son Wyatt. Oh Lord, preserve and keep that which is holy, Father God, set apart and consecrated for you and your glory. Oh Father, send, and I pray that you send upon them the revival fires of the healing hand of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that their minds and hearts and bodies and souls would be completely, oh Father, completely healed to the root. Help her in this medical treatment program. Help her get to the root. Lord, help her get to the root inside of her heart and mind of what it is you are inviting her to, Lord, and help her to say yes, Lord. So, Father, we love our sister and our brother, and we pray healing and blessing over them, and may this time be an amazing time. And, Father, we now invite the congregation, Lord, to respond to this message. And so, Bob and Cindy, if you would come on down, anyone who wants to come and pray for them for her healing. We believe that when someone comes, according to James 5, to the elders of the church, be anointed with oil. And that, by the way, I don't believe that exclusively has to be, you know, just me or some group of people that was voted on. That's people who have been anointed by God and appointed by God to have the authority. We have faith. Yes.
As much as I would like to have my eyesight back, I want whatever glorifies God more.
Cindy, the Lord has heard that. And so, Cindy, because you have surrendered and submitted yourself to the will of the Father, we now come like children to the Heavenly Father, and we anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, who has commanded us to do this. And you have come with faith. And so we join hands with you as a congregation, and with every head bow, we extend our hands and we ask, oh Father God, for your healing hand to be upon Cindy Sheffer. We thank you for her submission and surrender to you, that she asks only of that which would glorify and honor you, Lord. And so she says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that there is no blindness in heaven. And so we pray in the name of Jesus for your sight to be restored, for your memory, your short-term memory to be restored, for any ill effects to be restored, so that you would glorify God through the testimony of his healing hand upon you today. That God is the same God in the 21st century that he was in the first century, that he was when Moses parted the waters. God, we cry out to you that you heal our dear sister, and you bless her husband Bob, and that you give them of the peace of God that transcends all human understanding. So we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the stripes on Jesus' back, you are healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.